From the Middle is a founding member of the Odd Pods Media Network, even when they don't return our calls. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to episode 129 of From the Middle. We are three middle-class guys living in the middle of America in the middle chapters of our lives with a point of view somewhere in the middle. And if that doesn't tell you enough about our show, we're a comedy, culture, entertainment, and interview-style podcast. We don't want to be the annoying, obnoxious voices trying to trick you in with their clickbait headlines and stories. We want to be a more relaxed, conversational, and hopefully funny podcast that you can turn on when you're folding laundry or on your drive to work. In this episode, we talk all about Thanksgiving foods, hobbies that we'll probably never have, the metaverse, Hawkeye drops on Disney Plus, and decorating for Christmas. We hope you enjoy this episode and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Oh, for the love.
Sorry, just clearing my Mountain Dew hole.
I got my phone hole clean today.
That's where you keep it?
You're so cerebral, and you're so developed and evolved.
Is it me? Are you pointing at me?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you want me to go?
Yeah. Why don't we see what happens? Just go with that.
We'll start. So I'll start.
We've already started there, Dylan.
I'll start then. If you
were wasting tape.
This tape goes on forever. Did you know that? There's no radio station back in this bad boy.
It certainly sounds like it. Yeah.
No one's going to cut us off. So I've got a question for you. This episode 129, it's Thanksgiving week. Very exciting. Lots of stuff going on. Somebody asked a question on social media that was asking for like peculiar, abnormal Thanksgiving traditions. It could be food. It could be something you do. And I was kind of intrigued by one of the responses. So I'm going to tell you the response and then I'm going to tell you what we have to do next. Okay.
Okay.
So the response was, we love talking about food on this podcast. Correction. I love talking about food on this podcast. So somebody's response was, we like to make our dressing or stuffing, depending on what part of the country you live in and what you call it. We like to make the dressing very moist, patty it like a hamburger, and then fry it.
Oh.
I was intrigued by
this.
Sounds
like a hush puppy patty kind of thing.
And I'm not even a stuffing person. So here's our job. If we were tasked with taking this thing and making it an official Thanksgiving sandwich, what toppings would have to go on that? Or it could be a wrap. Maybe it could be a sandwich. It could be a patty on its own. I know the stuffing, but I feel like it needs to be some kind of sandwich because I make everything into a sandwich. So if you had to top that off with a few things, how would you make that into the official Thanksgiving sandwich?
Kendall, you don't have to raise your hand. This is a podcast and you have a microphone. Just go ahead.
So I have relatively strong feelings about having extra carbohydrates on a sandwich, not for any health reasons. For some reason, I just don't like it. So, you know, you can go to Pittsburgh and they like pile fries onto a sandwich. And I hate that. I don't like it.
Okay.
And there's other like Taco Bell when they put tortilla strips inside of things. I'm not a fan of that either.
Okay.
So for me, having bread on the outside of your stuffing sandwich doesn't make sense.
It's redundant. Okay.
So I would want to go somewhere like when KFC had a sandwich where it was like fried chicken instead of bread. Then it had like ham and cheese in the middle. I'll do something like that. Now, perhaps instead of fried chicken, you do like fried chunks of turkey breast or something like that. I don't know if that's a thing, battering and deep frying turkey breast. but I would certainly have a meat bun of some kind.
I mean, then, I'm open to that. In my brain, I was thinking like maybe you fry it and then put a nice piece of like Munster or Havarti on it to let it kind of melt over it. And then you sure. could figure out if you wanted toppings or whatever. But you could just take thick slices of turkey and just put the stuffing thing right in the and hold on to the turkey and then wrap it and just eat it like that. I'm open to that. That could be the Thanksgiving sandwich.
I bet you one could make a pretty simple and delicious cranberry mayonnaise, cranberry aioli, if you will.
There's possibilities is what I'm hearing.
What's up, Corey? You're grasping at your chin hair.
Yeah. What was my chin hair? I'm going to go. I was thinking, I agree. I think bread on top of that patty, on both sides of that patty, feels a bit redundant. So I was like, what could take away some of the extra carbs? And I think you just put some strips of turkey on there, drizzle gravy over the whole thing, and then a nice like Arby's sesame seed bun might work. Otherwise, just put some, do it the next day after Thanksgiving. Just have two cold slabs of turkey, but heat up the patty again and then put gravy as your dressing. Mm-hmm. So it's like cold turkey, hot patty with gravy, and another piece of cold turkey. And you can do it open face if you want and cut it with a knife and fork. But if you want to just go ahead and put your meaty paws on the meat, that's fine too.
There's a part of me that's thinking like the main patty of stuffing could be like the Big Mac middle layer.
Yeah.
Toppings, the middle thing. So that's why I'm intrigued by layers of like turkey, maybe a little cheese in there, maybe some gravy.
The
gravy can soak into like the stuffing layer.
The flavor saver. I'm struggling to figure out what cheese. You said Munster or Havarti.
A nice soft.
Yeah.
A nice kind of soft.
I wouldn't go cheese,
mild.
I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I would use some kind of an aioli or a fancy type of mayonnaise instead of cheese.
How about you, Dylan? It was your question, Sean. I'm sure you have thoughts.
Yeah. No,
this is it. This is, we're doing it now. I was also questioning if you did go the cheese route, do you do like, I hadn't thought of aioli yet. There's all kinds of those. Do you do like a mustard with some cheese? If you're going to go that route, do you make it a more traditional sandwich, or do you really lean into the Thanksgiving thing and just like, we're going to use gravy as like our sauce, or we're going to use, I don't know. I'm intrigued by this whole, I'd never even heard of that. I'm intrigued by it.
Well, I think we've got a challenge. So here's what we need to do. We need to get a cup, have your families save a cup of stuffing for you, mm-hmm. put it in a Ziploc bag, and then the next day or two, figure out your sandwich. Take a picture of it, and we'll report back.
Sounds awesome.
I think that's our challenge. Don't forget, you have to make your stuffing patty sandwich. It kind of feels like a crab cake a little bit too.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, sure. Sure do.
Possibilities, man.
So while we were talking, I came up with a list. So for Halloween, we went through and talked about people's least favorite and most favorite Halloween candies by state, but I have a short list of the entire nation. Just sort of, I think this is going off of sales, least favorite Thanksgiving side dishes. And there are some things on this list that are going to piss you off. Mm-hmm. And I want to preface by saying that maybe we should think about this list and realize that this is traditional Thanksgiving side items, which is a finite list. If you make a list of 10 to 12 items, everything is going to be on that list, right? Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. Number one on the list with 27% of people not liking it is candied yams. Mm. Any guesses on what number two is? It was a hot topic of discussion, I think, last Thanksgiving or the Thanksgiving before.
Green bean casserole.
There it is.
Oh, I remember. And I think some of our listeners will too.
They're all like, who's this? Has he not heard of green bean casserole? There we go. Anyway, so that's number two with 25%. So they're pretty close. 27, 25%. 24% is cranberry sauce. Doesn't specify what kind of cranberry sauce, just cranberry sauce. And then the last one that is up there in the 20s, 21% say sweet potato casserole. So you've got your candied yams at one. You've got your sweet potato casserole, which is the marshmallowy one, I think, sitting there at number four. And then there's a big gap. Mm-hmm. And at 12%, tied for 12% is stuffing. Mm-hmm. And this is one I didn't understand, salad. Are a lot of people having salad?
People aren't actually excited about salad at Thanksgiving.
Are people having salad at Thanksgiving?
Yes, I'm sure. But no one's excited about it. You know what's never going to be on that list? Mashed potatoes.
8%.
Nope. Don't buy it. That's a lie. Don't buy it.
No one's literally like next on the list.
Do you know why that's on the list? Because somebody gave out these rankings and said you have to put them from worst to best. And mashed potatoes was still on the list, but maybe, I don't believe it.
Maybe Georgia came up with a bunch of mashed potato ballots. I don't know.
What states are bad at preparing mashed potatoes? And that's where that result. It's like California doesn't know how to make them because there's like asparagus in it. And they're like, these are terrible. And well, it's yeah, because you're making.
How do I fit the acai into this mashed potato recipe? Yeah, I can't believe it doesn't have any acai in it.
I don't think I can jam any more cranberry sauce in these mashed potatoes. That's the only reason some state just doesn't put butter and salt in them. And then they're like, yeah, these aren't good. Well, of course.
No kidding. And then last on this list at 7% is dinner rolls. People out there don't like bread.
Corey, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't trust them.
I just went off on mashed potatoes.
I mean, listen, there are lots of wrong people in the world, and that's fine. They need to take polls and surveys too. That's fine.
Well, now there is an interesting, so on this same article that I'm going off of, they have a graphic that is the canned cranberry divide, and it has the entire nation on a gray to red scale, and the grayer your state is, the more your state prefers canned cranberry sauce, and the redder your state is, the more they prefer homemade fresh cranberry stuff. And I will say that Ohio State is definitely the state of Ohio is certainly solidly pink. So we favor, but we're not super strong in fresh cranberries. We're about the same color as a lot of the rest of the country. What I find interesting here is pretty much the entire East Coast gray. Everybody from like, I'm going to say from like Delaware on up. So, well, in Maryland and Washington, D.C., New York, that entire area of the country is a big gray patch of canned cranberry people. I find that interesting. Where do you guys stand on the cranberry sauce debate?
I'm not a cranberry sauce person at all. I'm sure it's fine. No, I don't want any. Oh. I'm never putting it on my own plate.
That's one of my favorite things.
I'm skipping over it in line. Honestly, probably because I'm ladling on more mashed potatoes is why.
Probably.
Double up on the mashed potatoes.
I am with Dylan.
Can't blame you there.
I'm with Dylan. I almost never have it. It's at every Thanksgiving and I never partake. Okay.
I'm going to play the complete idiot like normal on this one. Is the cranberry sauce supposed to go on one of the things specifically? Like, is it for the turkey? Do you eat it as its side on its own?
There are a lot of people who use it as a sauce for the turkey, but that's not, I don't think that that's the norm. I think the norm is just, it's another side.
So you're literally just eating like gelatinous cranberries as a side.
If it's the canned cranberry, yes, it's gelatinous cranberry. If it's fresh cranberries, no. It's
you know what
it's I more would like a jam.
Prefer. You know what I feel like would be a much better use for cranberries? Just bring back the Sierra Mist sparkling cranberry soda and cranberry juice as like a drink. If you want to mix it in as like a drink, cranberry juice with like 7 Up and clear sodas and make it a nice, feels like a far better use of the cranberry juice.
You know, cranberries are one of my, there's a lot of things that I don't really like about the Thanksgiving meal. And that's becoming sort of a broken record for our generation. I think most of us hate turkey. To get off with, I'm not huge into stuffing, but I love mashed potatoes and I love cranberries. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy with those two things. I could have a plate full of only those two things, but if I am going to have turkey, it is almost a necessity for me to have cranberry sauce with it.
But not on it. You're saying on the sides.
No, with it. Like, so like I still have them separate on my plate, but I like dip and schmear, if you will.
Oh, you know what this is kind of like then? I'm just putting it together. Is it similar to when you go to IKEA and you get the meatballs and they have that kind of jam, kind of half on the meatballs and half not? Is it kind of like that? Is that
something
the
like that? Now that's what I do. And I know that I'm not alone, but there are plenty of people who just eat the cranberry sauce entirely by itself.
That helps me understand a little bit because I prefer the gravy at IKEA on the meatballs, but I kind of get there's jam on it a little bit. It's pretty good.
That's why if all you've ever experienced was like the out of a can cranberry sauce, then you're missing out on like the dippability of the other kind of cranberry sauce.
Ironically, that's the same sound refried beans make when they come out of the can, and I use
it. It is exactly. It's the same thing. It is the
they just splat down in the pan.
The loss of a vacuum accompanied with a splat.
Yeah, it's great.
A good old splat and a schmear.
Man, I'm hungry. How about you, boys?
I feel like there are some traditions that are just dangling by a thread. You know, we've talked about how like turkey isn't the best meat, but like somebody's obligated to do the turkey that year in your family potluck. I feel like it was the original intent of the cranberry sauce, I wonder, to be like a palate cleanser because you're having all of these savory foods that you need something a little tart and fruity to sort of balance it out.
I feel like I saw a related video to the turkey question today. It was police showing you how you need to be cautious if you're deep frying a turkey outside, and they dropped a mostly frozen one into the deep fryer. And it looked kind of like World War II movies when somebody bursts out with a flamethrower, like into a building and just unleashes. Yeah. It was kind of like that. And sometimes I look at things like that and think turkey's maybe not worth it for the day. Like there's, you know, honey baked ham is just waiting for you to swing by and snag a hot ham on the way home. You know what I'm saying?
It's true. Last year, we, if anybody remembers, nobody does. with COVID, like we didn't spend Thanksgiving with family or anything. And so we ordered Indian food. Mm-hmm. And it was the best Thanksgiving ever. I didn't have to eat turkey. And I mean, turkey is just, it's dry. It's so hard. Maybe it's just so hard to cook. I've never had a good one. I don't know what it is about turkey. I certainly can't do the white meat. It is always super dry. But Indian food Thanksgiving is what I think is in the future. Once we're at a spot with our family where we're not like obligated because like other people are who we're like obligated to spend Thanksgiving with, and it's just us and us five and creating our own traditions and that kind of thing, which is like turkey's out the door at that point. And I totally think takeout Indian food is in.
I think on our Instagram, if anyone's really that curious, we shared our Thanksgiving dinners last year. Three of us, our family dinners. But things are turning back to normal a little bit more this year. And we're going to have some fun. Speaking of normal, and then we can wrap up on Thanksgiving. I saw things are getting back to normal in New York City. There was a video of somebody, an adult in a rat costume. That's rat if you didn't hear what I said, as in yes. the rodent, dragging a mattress sized slice of fabric pizza up the subway stairs on all fours. And this dude starts walking down the stairs, clearly he pauses for just a moment, has no time for the rat pizza nonsense. Nopes right over the rail and down like 10 feet and then just keeps walking in the subway. And so as this adult human in rat costume drags this massive fake pizza slice up the subway steps. So it's just good. It's good to see that things are getting back to normal this year. You know, wherever you are, whether you're in the Midwest like us, whether you're an adult wearing a rat costume, whatever.
Yeah. Whether you're in New York with all the giant rats or in California who are doing mashed potatoes wrong.
Right. Acai berries and too much cranberry sauce.
Speaking of pizza and non-traditional Thanksgiving food. So because we have a big family and in-laws and split family and all that, typically the families that aren't having the holiday closest to the holiday just decide we're not doing the traditional Thanksgiving menu. We're going to do something completely different. So we had one this past weekend and it was Italian. We've done Chinese in the past. You did Indian nice. Last year. So yeah, because it's like, what are you going to have turkey stuffing and cranberry sauce at three separate Thanksgivings? I love that. So if you're have a big family or have lots of Thanksgiving in your family, consider that as an option. You know, you might be a little anxious thinking about having to eat some of these foods that you don't like. And you might be anxious about Thanksgiving because there's that one family member who you're pretty sure is in QAnon. Well, let me tell you about Stello Mints. Stello Mints are CBD mints, and there are three awesome flavors. Matcha tea flavored, lemon, and peppermint. And if you just pop two or three of those moments before walking into your family Thanksgiving, it'll take just a little bit of edge off. Your weird uncle won't stress you out quite as much, and you'll have a wonderful time. So go to stellomints.com. That's STELLOMINTS.com. Use promo code the middle at checkout and get 10% off of your order and every order you make in the future. Stello Mints.
Yeah. If you're on our YouTube channel, Kendall's showing you the label. And if you go to the about section on our YouTube channel, all those details are right there. So you don't have to remember it. The website, the promo code. Do you guys, between peppermint, lemon, and matcha, do you have a favorite flavor?
I'm a matcha guy.
Matcha is the most interesting. The lemon is my favorite.
Peppermint is exactly what you would expect it to be like in the best way. Lemon is delightful.
It's got matcha, like a ginger afterburn to it, which I love.
Matcha might be my favorite. Frankly, there's like deals if you buy more. It's worth buying one of each because they're all super good for different occasions. So definitely try those out. One thing that I've recently tried it out for, just because I was curious, had a couple bad nights of sleep, popped a couple Stello and slept much better. After a couple bad nights of sleep, it was great. So all kinds of cool things you can try it out for. But yeah, certainly any moments where you just want to take the edge off, being a little anxious, definitely great for that.
So Kendall mentioned my chin hairs earlier. And if you've watched the YouTube videos the last couple of weeks, you know that I shaved my beard way closer than normal.
Word.
I really liked where things were going with the long beard. I was trying to channel my inner Nate Weber, and like I wanted to grow it really long. If you don't know who that is, we had a lone contestant, Nate Weber, on the podcast, and he has the best beard ever. What episode number was that, Dylan? While you look that up.
117, Failure is Part of the Journey with Nate Weber from the History Channel series Alone.
So I was kind of going that route, and Sherry made it abundantly clear multiple times that she wasn't really digging the long beard. And so in a moment of passion, I agreed to her absurd request to shave the beard.
And did it include the word fine?
And Man, it was like we've talked about that meme before where there's like this really like tough looking warrior dude who has a long beard and he shaves his face and it like is a baby and his eyes are really big and glassy. It was just, I didn't realize how round my face had gotten during COVID. And I was like, I use facial hair like women use makeup. I'm using it to like sculpt and lengthen my face. So I can't hide behind it anymore. But I still use my Artius Man products. Artius Man makes incredible men's grooming products. And we highly encourage you to check out their beard oils, their balms, their waxes, their shampoos, their candles are great too. Artiusman.com, fill your cart, use promo code the middle at checkout to get 25% off of your order, your first order. And I really love Artius Man.
And again, if you're on YouTube, all that's in the about section of our channel, including the promo code, so you can go right there.
That wasn't really a long promo. I really did want to tell that story because we've had guests the last couple of weeks and
yeah,
there wasn't really time to talk about. But I'm excited to grow it back out.
It's like Corey hates his face or something like that.
Speaking of my wife, I'm really proud of her. She ran the Hot Chocolate 5K in downtown Columbus with both of my daughters, Lily and Chloe, 14 and 11. Case and I, my son and I, dropped them off at their paddock or whatever, like, what do they call those things where they start the races? Those things.
Starting line.
Yeah, sure. So then we just kind of walked our way to the finish line and sat in the rain downtown for about a half an hour to let them finish. And while we were doing that, there was like a DJ playing music and giving us random facts about the race. If you don't know anything about the Hot Chocolate 5K here in Columbus, Ohio, just under 7,000 people register to run either a 5K, which is 3.1 miles, or the 15K, which is basically three times that. 360 some odd gallons of hot chocolate are handed out to the finishers at the end of the race. And like some chocolate fondue and Rice Krispies and Oreos that each? They can dip in it. Yeah. So that was really cool. They did it with some of my cousins and had a really good time. And it was fun going down there and supporting them. And it made me think, that's something that I don't think I'll ever do, be a runner. Do you guys have anything in your lives that, I mean, I'm open to it. If I have a health scare or a doctor tells me I need to get my life in order, I might one day become a runner
again.
You know, there's other ways to get cardiovascular work in. Like, you don't have to be a runner.
But have you guys ever thought, like, in 20 years, you might take on a hobby or something that you if you could just imagine or pretend or fast forward, like, let's just say Dylan's an outdoorsman or something crazy like that. Have you ever thought about that? Because running is one of those things where you see the people doing it. I love the people that get excited about it. From what I've heard, it's about the personal challenge and seeing if you can get a personal best record each time. And you're really racing against yourself and in a crowd of 7,000 people, and you get the real shoes and you have the gear and it's just you and the elements. And I get all of that, but it's just,
and all of your Facebook friends that see the photos that you have to post,
you get the medal and the
thing. There is that.
Yeah. I mean, well, back to the hot chocolate thing for a second. I did hear that it went great, other than the mishap with them putting the hot chocolate in all the Gatorade cups at the finish line. It's real shame about all those ER visits.
People try to gulp down.
They just splash it on their face and they did not have a good time.
It's too hot. And then there's somebody there with like a can of Ready Rip and just squirts it down their throat.
Did you want this on your face to help cool it? I think I'm really pretty sure this is me trying to talk myself out of running. Pretty sure. I really don't think it's actually good for your joints. I don't doubt that it's good for getting your heart rate up and keeping it up. and giving you something to do. And people get really excited about when they do get into it and they first start pushing past that, like, you know, you get like your second wind and they really start to figure out like what they're capable of. I really don't actually think physically it's that good for like your hips and your knees and stuff like that. So, I think I would stay away from that one, but yes, I do think about, are there other things that I wouldn't even expect myself to be into that I would be into now? I just don't think running's one of them. We did, ironically, we did just move an elliptical into our basement. You, Corey, helped me with an elliptical into the basement. We just like, it was like a cloud. It just floated down the stairs. And I did that today for the first time. We had a busy weekend and then we took yesterday off as kind of a day to relax on Sunday. So I did use that tonight for the first time. That was good. Much less, since your feet are planted, there's much less impact. Like joint. Yeah, I can't think of the word, but your joints aren't impacting each other as much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that I don't mind, you know, that's fine. I threw the iPad up on it and I was watching The Office while I was using it.
So what are some of those things that if in 20 years I told you, Dylan, one day you're going to be a stamp collector or you're going to be restoring an old GTO judge in your garage? God, or like what would be the most surprising to you to hear? Because right now it's not even kind of on your radar.
I mean, clearly, like being super outdoorsman would be the most surprising to me. If I turned into Nate Weber, that would be the most shocking for anyone who knows me now. I don't know. I feel like it's harder for me to answer about myself. Can you think of something that would be like,
yeah, I'd agree with the outdoors one, especially something that was a more, like more than just, oh, he got a tent and he's started to camp occasionally. But like, right. If you would say like, oh, he's a bow hunter now, or he's doing something more extreme or mountain climbing or something like that. But, you know, you've heard of people who are like, they have these awakenings or these moments of clarity where they're just like, I'm going to do this thing. And that's when I knew I was going to be a runner. Kendall, what's one of yours?
I would say like, anything working with young children would be, and it's not that I'm not one of these people who hates kids. I just don't, like being around kids, or I don't like doing kid kinds of things, maybe is what it is. Like, I can't stand even like listening to my kids watch cartoons on, like, it just, I can't, it just is too much for me to sit there and listen to it for too much. So I either get up and leave, or I'm like, all right, it's daddy's turn for the remote. I can't stand it. So like anything like that, I've got like the worship leading music thing. Like if you were to tell me that I was going to be like singing kid songs, leading kid songs for a children's program, like that would surprise me. Cause that is definitely not. And people have asked me before to do that sort of thing with music. And I'm like, I'm not the right guy to ask. Like, I'm not going to be like Mr. Wiggles up here. Like, that's not who I'm ever going to want to be, or even working. So on the ministry side of things and ministry leadership and stuff, like it seems like everybody kind of takes their turn at teaching Sunday school or leading kids in some way, shape or form. And that is like a whole arm of ministry that like, I'm glad to not know what's going on there. Like I'm glad that when somebody asks me a question about how do I check in my kids, my answer is you go talk to someone else. Like that's, I know who to send them to, but that person is not me. I don't know. I don't know what goes on up there. I don't have anything to do with the curriculum. Working with kids is just not something that, I enjoy, as a matter of fact, and I avoid it.
And in your defense, it's something you've been, as a stay-at-home dad, it's something you've been doing a while, and it's your kids, so that makes it a little different.
It's good. But I love doing things with my kids. I just don't like watching their stuff on TV with them. But everything else, like, yeah. I enjoy playing video games with them. I enjoy fishing with them. I enjoy playing with them in the yard. I'm teaching them checkers. now, like teaching one of them, like wants to get good at checkers. And so
nice
going down that road. Like I love doing things with my kids. But I don't want to do the like cutesy sing along kind of stuff, nor do I want to hear it or have anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with children's education. I'll put it that way. Maybe that's a good way to put it.
Corey, for you, I feel like you already dabble in so many things. I don't know that anything would surprise me.
Yeah, running.
Running.
Running it is. Especially if you had like the tights for running and then like the really narrow shoes. And then you had like your vest like you have on now and with the hoodie if you're watching YouTube, but with like tights and really narrow shoes. I think that would be fun.
There's just so much unnecessary business that goes on in the running world. Like sometimes like I drive and I look at, I'm like, you're not a professional. You're like, you're running a couple. I don't know. There's something about runners that annoy me. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, they're running.
There's a lot of you out there. In my head, I think all of y'all are doing it so that people like me just see you doing it.
And we see your 13.1 stickers on your SUV.
We see your 13.1 stickers, and everything about social media is narcissistic, in my opinion. Like the very existence of Instagram is proof to me that if you're active on Instagram, that's your narcissist coming out. We all have it. It's okay. But that is why you're sharing your marathon photo at the finish line on Instagram, is because you have some narcissist in you.
Have you seen the video of a news reporter in some major city in the winter interviewing two runners?
Yes.
It's icy and snowy out. And they're like, oh no, this is the best kind of weather for running. And we've got shoes that help us, you know, to run gracefully. They get 15 feet down the street and they like one of them slips and falls. And it's sort of like a, well, look, pride cometh before the fall a little bit in your news report. And yeah, so there we are. Well,
Dylan, you know, if I ever did get into running, I would go whole hog with the gear, because that's one thing I do enjoy.
Well, yeah, I guess there's that.
But no, I'm terrified of nipple chafing. This is a great time to
he got a motorcycle because it just gives him yet another way to not run.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is a great time to hear from some of our friends in the Odd Pods Media Network. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Lauren.
And I'm John.
And we host the Beard Owl Podcast, the podcast where we talk about two of the greatest things in the world, beer and Beard Owl.
And a lot of other things. We're funny.
Yeah, that's basically what I told him to say. Good job with your script.
I listened.
Yay. But no, seriously, we try and pair a beer with a Weird Al song and talk about both things and go where the conversation takes us. It's fun. I promise. You'll like it.
Yeah. I mean, if you like talking about random things as well as, you know, fine craft beers and some wonderful craft music.
Craft music. I love it. So,
but not craft singles. So far, this promo is going about as smoothly as one of our episodes.
Absolutely. If this has enticed you in any way, please go to beardowlpodcast.com.
http://www.beardowlpodcast.com www.beardowlpodcast.com. I repeat, HTTP, if you want it to be secure, https://www.beardowlpodcast.com.
Bye.
Bye.
So we've established that Kendall hates all things social media, and we've also established that we're not runners, outdoorsmen, or into children's education. You know where we might be into those things? The metaverse. Have you guys heard much about this talk of the metaverse, or what Facebook announced the other day with their name change to Meta? What are your thoughts on all this craziness?
I feel like, from what I understand, it's something that kind of already exists, but Facebook is trying to make their version, and it's their version is probably going to be like far better, more immersive. But the idea of having an avatar and like going through this fake village on a map and meeting somebody, another person's avatar in a room and having like an actual real life business discussion exists. Like that has already existed. Is that what metaverse essentially is? Like a world where you can do that kind of thing?
I'll give you the official definition, but yes, that's the gist.
If that's the gist, then like they're not inventing it. But it'll be more widespread if they grab a hold of it.
I think it's the first time you're seeing it pushed further with currently with VR and eventually essentially with holographic technology.
Okay.
That's the combination. VR exists, but let's push VR further because nobody's really done anything major with VR. And before somebody bites my head off, there's a Star Wars game and I flew an X-Wing. Yes, you did. But like there are some games in VR, but it's clearly not what most people are doing as far as gaming. And so I think when you're trying to say, let's make VR the thing people are doing all the time, and then beyond that, we see the world, you know, a holographic projection into your room to create, you know, you're sitting at your home office, but a virtual colleague walks up to your desk and asks you a question as if it's the office. We're talking about something different now.
Yeah. So officially, the metaverse is a virtual reality space in which users can interact with a computer-generated environment and other users. Metaverse existed, and this is me talking now, metaverse, to Kendall's point, already existed. Meta is the new umbrella under which Facebook, Instagram, etc. will sit. So Facebook isn't going to be called Meta. It is Facebook powered by Meta, Instagram powered by Meta. So the metaverse is a virtual, another definition, a virtual world that will harness the power of a collection of nascent technologies, including augmented reality, virtual reality, and video, and allow users to interact in a digital world. So if Meta just means beyond, you could put on a VR headset. And like you said, Kendall, you could be sitting at half court at a Lakers game, playing checkers with your relative on the other side of the world. You could be in a business meeting. You could be fishing. You could be mountain climbing. You could be running a 5K. And it will blend work environments with exercise from your house. So the idea is that all of these worlds just sort of continue to blend and you sort of start to the extreme version. And then like the robots are going to take over version in my head is you'll start to forget where one stops and the other begins.
Mm-hmm. And somebody breaks down the entire metaverse and finds out that we've all evolved to just brains with thumbs.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, the more skeptical parts of the internet are like, so the Matrix is what you're describing. Facebook wants to just legitimize the Matrix. Or
you can certainly go down a dark path thinking about it. I think a lot of people have.
I think the interesting thing for me is like, in theory, it sounds fun as an educational or entertainment based kind of platform. We've all heard the, you know, if you don't pay for something, then you're the product, you know? So my concerns are, what does Facebook put in the fine print about all of this, that what's in it for them kind of thing? I don't think anyone trusts that Facebook at this point as a greater entity is inherently good. I think most people at best, you view them as neutral to slightly negative influence on the world. And at worst, most people view them as a very negative influence on the world. So if this was Apple launching this, or if this was a ride at Disney World, I don't think people would be as skeptical as they seem to be about the whole thing. But you know, I think at one point in one of the videos with Mark Zuckerberg, there was talk about like being able to create a profile that detaches from your personal profile. So not everything is linked. Like, so if there's some level of safeguard, like maybe I make a Facebook profile with literally no information on it just so I can try it. And then they're not using everything that I do in the metaverse to like sell to me and whatever. Maybe there's going to be workarounds to make people feel more comfortable with diving into Facebook's world. It's interesting.
So maybe we bifurcate. So maybe let's just take Facebook out of it and just talk about the metaverse more generally, because this is early days. Facebook was really one of the first companies to have a point of view on it and talk about what their plans are for it. But generally, there are going to be, to Kendall's point, tons of corporations and companies, and in small ways and in big ways, trying to figure out what their version of that looks like. So if you take big, bad Facebook out of it and Meta out of it, I'm more concerned from a, you hear really smart people on podcasts and things talk about how even with the internet, our brains as humans, we weren't meant necessarily or ready for this much data input, news. We're still learning how the internet is affecting us, right? And it came out decades ago. It's teenage girls and Instagram and body image and being able to rate your worth based on likes. And like, this is having psychological effects that we're like still figuring out. So yep. That's the part of metaverse that scares me, is like, we're taking this idea of internet even further, allowing you to have false personas and avatars, identify as whatever you want in the metaverse, and go and dive headlong into even more things that psychologically I don't think we're ready to deal with, know about, see, experience. You think about all the nefarious ways that that could be used, or with, you know, the dark underbelly of the internet. Just so, again, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I think, to Dylan's point, there will be educational things and you'll be able to travel the world and see things like you've never seen before. So, you know, a sad situation where somebody on their deathbed with only so long to live can go see that place they've always wanted to see. I think things like that will be beautiful. And all those things, yeah. I just said.
Yeah, I think there's certainly educational applications. Like right now you're seeing a big push by like Apple and Google to get their tablets and computers and stuff into schools and use their app platforms. If kids are comfortable with those things at a young age, they'll continue to use them. I think the same will be true with Facebook trying to push those as an educational tool into classrooms for any kind of app, but to start connecting, not only get kids using the thing, but get them comfortable with the thing. So that's the thing they want at home. But look, if I want to hear somebody badmouth my mother, they can do it over a headset, not to my virtual face. Right. So I don't need them to do it to my virtual avatar. I can just snipe them in Call of Duty and then they can complain about me via DM. So, you know, there's good and bad.
Well, we don't have to stay on that any longer. I just thought that, I mean, because Meta just put out their video on it and I thought it was super interesting. And it's a topic that we hit on a lot of the areas that are peripheral to that. So I thought it was worth getting you guys.
I think it's a good idea. And honestly, if there's a condensed version of Mark Zuckerberg's presentation on Metaverse, it's like 10 to 15 minutes. If you don't know anything about it at all, go watch it. I do think it's worth watching, because that's certainly going to be the next 10 to 15 years worth of toys, entertainment devices, stuff that people are going to be talking about that grandma or grandpa won't understand at the next holiday. You know, it's like, put this thing on and you're going to battle ninjas, you know? I mean, that's kind of some of the next iterations of tech that we'll see trickle down, you know, into our houses as well. And so I do find this idea interesting that like at some point, you might have a room that's literally just a chair in the middle, because decorating it and putting a TV on the wall might not be worthwhile. You can just walk in there, sit in a chair, put a VR headset on, and the room can be decorated however you want. You can change it in an instant. You're watching a virtual television or projector. You've got headphones on for audio, and you almost need the room to be empty so you can get up and move in a virtual space. And so it's not unreasonable to think that we might just have empty room or more in our homes in the future, where that's just like the VR room. And for the Star Trek fans, you know, maybe it's eventually the holodeck that we're all looking forward to, you know, where we can go in and create these sort of virtual worlds using holograms and stuff. If we're lucky, they did some cool stuff in the holodeck in Star Trek.
Crazy stuff.
Corey, did you end up seeing Taylor Tomlinson?
Well, maybe in the metaverse I can, because God bless him. Dylan and I's cousin had an extra ticket to see Taylor Tomlinson at the Palace Theater downtown. So while his sisters were running with my family in the race, I said, hey, man, just come down, crash. We'll go see Taylor the next night. It'll be great. So we go to dinner. We drive all the way downtown. We get to the Palace at about 6:15. There ain't a light on. And so we drive by. And I go, well, you know, maybe somebody comes at like 6:30 and turns all the lights on. And he looked at his phone, and sure enough, she had performed the night before.
Oh, no.
So he felt bad. We did not get to see Taylor Tomlinson live. So to sort of scratch that itch, I came home and watched her special on Netflix, Quarter Life Crisis. And I had already seen it, but it was great again. I just wanted to see her. But one day I will see Taylor Tomlinson live.
All right.
Speaking of seeing something, I don't know how I knew this was coming, but all of a sudden we're days away from Hawkeye, the series on Disney Plus launching. The first two episodes are going to drop on Thanksgiving Day. So depending on when you're listening to the episode, they might already be out. But if you haven't seen the trailer, it's like Die Hard. It's what it makes it feel like. It's like upbeat Christmas music with action. And there's going to be like a 6-episode arc for this season. And I'm so excited. We might get to talk about it next week.
Awesome.
I'm so excited about it. And so I don't know if you guys have watched the trailer yet.
I have not.
But even if somebody listening is not sure whether they want to watch it, go watch that first trailer for Hawkeye and tell me that doesn't feel like you're watching a new Die Hard movie trailer. It's super exciting. So yeah, it's just here we are. And then before you know it, Hawkeye is going to be over and we're going to be getting Book of Boba Fett on Disney Plus. And we're going to be watching more Star Wars. And what a wonderful world. It's
wonderful, wonderful world.
It'll be Christmas.
You get that Star Wars Episode One hat on, I see. That's
nice. Yeah, this is from a fan and avid listener. Got Corey and I these hats. Sorry, Kendall.
Cool.
And so I'm rocking my Star Wars Episode One with. I have a Stormtrooper T-shirt on too.
Very good. That's so cool. I didn't even know that Star Wars Episode One had hats. So
yeah. Well, apparently they were Taco Bell branded. So these are a few. Speaking of Christmas, and these are a few of my favorite things. Right. Yeah, it's got a little Taco Bell logo on there. It says, "We are the champions." Sorry if you're not on YouTube, you're missing this real treat. And and Star Wars Episode One on the front. So yeah,
that is the perfect hat. Yeah,
perfect hat for me. Star Wars and Taco Bell. Who knew Dylan, you could even get those two things on one hat?
Dylan pointed out right before we started recording that I also chose to wear a Star Wars branded hat. And last week we all wore our glasses and hats. And I picked out a brand new glasses frames, and they're eerily similar to Dylan's. So the Wonder Twins thing just keeps happening more and more. It starts sort of freaking me out, Kendall.
Yeah. Goodness. Is that was like an early Christmas present?
This was a gift from Dylan. Was this last Christmas?
Happy holidays.
Yeah, I think that was last year. I wish the website has tons of cool stuff and I could remember what it is. Superherostuff.com maybe.
Well, are you guys making your neighbors mad by starting your Christmas decorating early before Thanksgiving?
Sure am.
How's that going, Kendall? This is your favorite time of year. Speaking of favorite things.
It is. Christmas lives in my heart all year, which is why I'm allowed to sing Christmas songs whenever I want. Mm-hmm. And I'm not allowed. I don't decorate the house. We have a rule that Thanksgiving, a lot of families have the same rule. But there's a couple of exceptions to that rule. One of which is the Christmas Village that I put up every year, and that can go up anytime in November. And so it's not like up complete yet, but like boxes have all been unpacked and it's all sitting out on tables. There are some things I wanted to buy to update the lighting for it and that kind of thing. So it's taking over our living room. And because the weather was nice, I started putting lights up outside. And if you put them up, you got to turn them on, right? So yeah, I've had lights up outside for, I don't know, for like a week already.
Beautiful.
That's awesome, and, man. We just
it makes me so happy. Go ahead.
We just put up ours tonight. That's why I'm dressed like this, because I just came in from nice. Doing that. And I was about 75% of the way done with last year's icicle lights, which are traditional bulbs. When the last strand or two, there was no bringing it back. I tried swapping out bulbs and looking for broken ones, and there was no fixing it. So I went to Ace, got the next best thing, got home to realize that I bought LED. So the last like 75% of the house is a different warm light than the rest of the house. And for the rest of Christmas, I'm going to pretend like that doesn't drive me absolutely insane.
Oh, dude.
I wanted so badly to say something in the video that you sent of the lights and go, why are they? But I felt like, of course, I would be the one to chime in and say something and feel like I'm nitpicking. So I'm glad you brought it up, because that was driving me nuts in your video.
That's why, like, I am very specific that the white lights that we have outside of our house are Philips brand LED, whatever. Like, I have the stats on my phone, and if I ever need to go out to buy new ones, I know what brand and everything I need to get. And if they don't have it, I'm not buying it for that reason. That sucks, dude.
Yep.
So when I don't know how to take this, and I was kind of like stuck in my tracks thinking about it at the moment that it happened. While I was outside, like untangling Christmas lights in my front yard, a couple walks by, a couple that I had never seen before, walking their dogs. And so I said, hello. And they said, hi, very kind and friendly. Hello, hi. And then as they're walking away, I hear the gal say to the guy, this is such an interesting place. And I don't know, are they talking about, am I like interesting? And if so, like, that can't be a good thing, like, because they don't know anything about me. They saw me with Christmas lights and thought to themselves, this is an interesting place.
I feel like that's what you say at like Spencer's Gifts or Costco. I feel like a sidewalk. Sidewalk?
The only thing I like, am I like a character in Willy Wonka that's like super eccentric and like an interesting fellow that just to cross my path is to be interested? I don't understand.
Oh, okay. So you're putting up lights.
Yeah.
You say hello.
All I said was hello. All they said was hi.
Can you describe them more?
Probably about our age ish.
Okay.
I assume married couple, two dogs. I gather that they were new to the neighborhood based on this is such an interesting place comment.
Either that or they're aliens.
It could be.
And I don't mean illegals. I mean actual aliens.
Like Zuckerberg.
Because why would you say interesting place?
Listen, baby, you've got an interesting house. It's an interesting place.
It's not an interesting house. I mean, it's a fine house, but it's not any more interesting than the houses next to it.
Hey, okay. So we've already promised, based on an earlier prompt, to make stuffing patties.
Yep.
You have to promise us that if you see these people again, you'll be like, hey, a couple weeks ago, I was putting up lights. You said this is an interesting place. I need to know why.
Can you elaborate on that sentence?
Say more. That's so weird, dude.
Interesting place. You know, it's possible that they're from the future. Many Star Trek episodes deal with time. Sure. And I specifically remember William Shatner being in San Francisco and going to an aquarium. So it's very possible that they had traveled through time and thought, hey, this is an interesting place.
Yeah.
Maybe they were superheroes or villains and they had regular costumes on with dogs to as like decoy because they were scouting out something. All real possibilities.
Fascinating. Yeah.
I don't know.
Mystery.
Well, I don't know how we did it, gentlemen, but we threaded the segue needle through this one and hit every item on our list. I am so proud of us. This has been fun catching up with you guys and talking a little bit about the holidays. And I hope that you listeners enjoyed. Please comment below. Please send us a voicemail, an email. We got some lovely correspondence from a listener last week. We're going to share her thoughts possibly next week, only because I just now remembered. But we would love to hear from you, your thoughts on Thanksgiving foods or the metaverse or what those people meant when they said, this is an interesting place to Kendall while hanging up Christmas lights. We love hearing from you. So please do that. Comment below, reach out through one of our socials that Kendall loves so much. And I think that's it. Have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great time with your family. Don't forget to pop a few Stellos before walking through the front door. And we'll catch you guys next week. Auf Wiedersehen.
Catch you on the flippity flop.